Hey everyone, this is Bad End Podcast, episode 30. This is Josh Calixto. It's only been, you know, we missed 1 week. We're like 1 week late on this, but it feels like it's been forever because we haven't had a crew of three in a minute. Shouts out to our previous guests, Nicole and Astrid, for coming on the show. Great guests, but it feels nice to have just three of us, doesn't it?
Yes, it does feel great, Joshua Calixto of Kotaku, Rolling Stone.
Oh, thanks for introducing me, Katie of usgamer.net.
Thank you.
How about yourself? How's your week been going, Kyle of now recently Gamasutra.com?
Oh, what was that? Am I a game writer now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What did you write for Gamasutra? You just had something over there, bud.
Well, first off, my name is Kyle Cookstell. I am one of the co-founding co-hosts of Bad End Podcast, and I have been absent for what seems like a long-ass time, but I'm back.
It's been at least a month.
I got my takes, cocked and loaded, like a shotgun in Far Cry. I'm just like, I'm ready to let loose. But I did write, I wrote a thing for Gamasutra. I wrote about a kind of like an experiment I did in Unity with getting code to basically write itself for some like kind of nice stuff. So it's kind of like, it was kind of niche, but it got picked up. It got like featured by Gamasutra, which is really cool. If they do like a big feature or something, that stuff gets like a lot of coverage and it gets put on the front page. So it's definitely cool to see myself like on the front page of Gamasutra. So yeah, that was great.
And it was cool to see my friend Kyle on Gamasutra.com.
It was also
they had your picture there too.
Yeah, it's just like, straight up my Kyle face. It's like, it's my, I don't have like my icon in Gamasutra is not like a like an anime icon or anything. It's just straight up my face smiling at the camera. So if you go to Gamasutra, it might still be up there today. I mean, by the time this goes up, maybe not, but you just go there. It's like me just staring at you, just smiling.
That's what I see in my dreams too.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was going for.
Anyway, we played video games these past couple weeks, I think, right? Everybody played some games?
I guess. Played
some games.
I was in Hawaii for a week. That's why we didn't record last week.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh. You all ready to talk some games, though? How stoked!
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I kind of want to open with, like, the most game. Because, Josh, I know you've played it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that I and Josh recently have both been playing Magic the Gathering Arena, which is the new, I guess it's kind of new. I think it's been out for a few months now, but it's basically, it's Wizards of the Coast's version of Magic that looks a lot and kind of plays similar to Hearthstone in terms of how you put cards on the field. And it's basically trying to modernize the digital experience of Magic to, I think, compete with stuff like Hearthstone, like the Elder Scrolls game Legends, I think it's called. I guess Gwent, and now like Artifact, and I'm sure I'm missing another one. But like kind of making Magic look and feel like kind of a modern card game.
There's a lot of these digital card games coming out, and playing Magic the Gathering Arena has been an interesting experience because, as you all know, and will refrain from judging me at this point, I have not actually played Magic the Gathering physically as a child.
I mean, this never is on the Bad End Wiki. If you guys read the Bad End Wiki, we got a big list of things that Josh plays and haven't played and what he's into. And Magic is one of the, I mean, that's a lot of fans have been, you know, commenting on that one as well. So you guys should all know that as Bad End heads.
Never grew up around that crowd. You know, everyone has a crowd. The Magic the Gathering kids at my schools were one step too much for me. No, not judging. It was just the crowd I was around. Never got in, fell in with those kids. Never had those bad influences in my life from a young age. So, but now here I am, the Hearthstone reporter. I'm about to change my fucking Twitter handle to that. And I'm playing Magic. Kyle, I want to know your perspective.
Are you going to have Zuh in all caps? Sorry, I have to ask this.
It's going to have two E's, lowercase.
Two E's, so like the
Hearthstone reporter.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Do you have number one in there, like a hashtag one?
That's implied.
Okay.
Because if I'm doing number one, I'm like quantifying it, and then I have to prove that with credentials. Yeah. Nobody wants to do
like,
that.
Who's number 25? Like, we gotta know.
We can't be number one because Schmitty Wormingansen is number one.
Okay, but how long have you been playing Magic?
All right, so I've actually not been playing in my like life. I've not been playing Magic for a very long time. I think I started probably in like 2012. So that's like, and it's been on and off since 2012. Similar to you, like the Magic crowd when I was growing up was not like, I mean, I was not super cool, but I was definitely like a cooler nerd. But like the nerd right. nerds who played Magic,
yeah.
And also like I grew up in like a pretty like strong Christian family, and so there was definitely some of the like moral panic stuff around games like Magic as well as like Dungeons and Dragons. So also like in terms of like easeability, it's like kind of hard to like sneak Magic cards around your house, especially because you have no money when you're a kid. So I didn't play a lot as a kid, but I definitely kind of got into it in 2012 or so, and I started playing one of the older digital versions, and this was like before, I don't even know why I started playing it, but it was like before Hearthstone, it was before all this stuff, and I was like, oh, it'd be cool to like,
Kyle,
you know, see what this is fucking about.
I need to cut you off here for a sec.
What's up?
I just solved Gamergate, you guys.
You what? Solved it?
I just solved Gamergate! Okay. Listen up, everybody.
All right, I'm ready for it.
I just came up with the most brilliant scheme for stopping just the Gamergate dynamic, okay? Just follow me here, because this is some mad science, worth a shot, Hail Mary, last ditch effort before a country is consumed by trolls and incels. All right?
All right.
If it hasn't already been. What if, instead of vilifying gamers, which I'm prone to doing, all right? I think a lot of people are prone to doing. What if we just started emphasizing the micro differences between different gamers so that all of the different gamer factions can start infighting and take each other down from the inside? You know what I'm saying? We need to get
already happening.
We need to start getting Magic the Gathering nerds to start fighting Yu-Gi-Oh nerds, to start fighting Hearthstone nerds, to start fighting Netrunner
nerds,
to start fighting Artifact nerds. But we need we need to start fucking pouring fumes on this shit so that they just all fight each other. Make them feel like they have like some justifiable worthy cause. Because that's what when they start going into it with passion, you know what I'm saying?
But Josh, I feel like they're like two steps ahead of you, because I feel like there was the fights. There were like the PC versus console, for sure, the Magic versus like Pokemon. But I feel like what actually happened is that Gamergate was them rallying around the fact that they all just hate women. So it was like the first thing that kind of like brought them together. So it's kind of like it more like stewed the pot, like the fans of the fires of war that were stewing for a long time actually boiled together where they're like, oh, we're all misogynistic and we can kind of bond around that. So I think it's actually, I don't know about that strategy.
I feel like we already see this happening. Like, I feel like there's already people fighting. There definitely could be more fighting, totally. But I feel like there's already so much like infighting. Like there's Hearthstone snobs and
League of Legends snobs.
Yeah,
I see where you guys are coming from. I understand what you guys are saying.
You want to lead a movement, though.
I think you brought up some good points there for sure. But I mean, maybe we're just not taking it far enough yet. Maybe we can start. You guys ever heard of false flags?
So I'm gonna start talking about Magic again.
Okay. Anyway.
All right, anyways.
Magic the Gathering.
So I started playing Magic the Gathering about 6 years ago, and I was like, this is cool, but also I think it was like kind of through Magic that I realized that I don't really like deck building. And Magic, for those of you who don't know, is not it's like a true collectible card game. It's not like kind of Fantasy Flight's new thing of like living card games like Netrunner. The idea is that like you buy a pack of cards and it's more or less totally random. It's like random inside the set that the booster pack is from, but it's not like you can just get all the cards whenever you want to. So there's kind of like an additional meta that's built around like scarcity of cards, which is kind of frustrating, but at higher levels that matters a little bit less because there's different sorts of modes that people play Magic in, specifically one called drafting, where you just buy through random packs and you play with those cards against other people. So that's kind of cool. But I don't know. It was like, it definitely in some ways feels like the like card game of this new era, where a lot of games, like almost every card game that I can think of since Magic has Magic-esque things. Like Hearthstone is very, very close to Magic. Like Pokemon is pretty close to Magic. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like kind of similar to Magic. The idea of basically any sort of game where you're like summoning or bringing some sort of fighting unit to a field that you pay some sort of resource cost for is like essentially Magic. It's so much so that Magic is even copyrighted the mechanic of tapping a card. So in Magic, you have this idea of basically having to spend a resource to do a thing. And to do that, you do what's called tapping, which means that you basically spend the card, you turn it sideways. And that's like copyrighted. It's like, it was such a thing that they're like, this is the core, this is a Magic mechanic. And other games that try to do similar things to Magic avoid like the mechanic of tapping, but have similar things. So it was really cool to though play Magic kind of right before Hearthstone started happening, because it really gave me an eye into what I think Blizzard is really good at, which is this idea of basically taking like a good idea and kind of pushing it to a great idea. And Josh, I'm sure you have some opinions on this, but one thing I realized recently playing the Magic the Gathering Arena was how much of a more refreshing idea it feels like Hearthstone is. Like going back and playing Magic, which is still very much a very similar game of Magic as it was when it was first conceived. Like Hearthstone has a lot of efficiencies that make the actual act of playing it a lot smoother, a lot easier, and potentially a lot more, or a lot less frustrating than playing kind of a more traditional hand of Magic.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really speak about it authoritatively because I feel like a lot of longtime Magic the Gathering fans would probably get pissed off at me, and because I don't exactly understand how like the game works at like a deeper level. Because like if I was to judge Hearthstone, for instance, based on 1 or 2 months of playing it, I would not have nearly like as much of a clue as like what's going on as if I had a year and a half of experience or what have you. So all of this, take it with a grain of salt. But Magic the Gathering, I think design-wise, there's some really fucking interesting shit that game has going on, partially because it's been going on for such a long time and they've had such a long time to like iterate on older mechanics and implement new mechanics that like are really neat and that add like awesome layers to like the normal stuff that they're teaching you. I think that like as a game, I would not really care too much to dispute that like Magic the Gathering is a great game, deserves its place in, you know, the hallowed halls of card game history. It's like a better card game than Hearthstone, what have you, blah, blah, blah. I think as an electronic card game, it's got more than its fair share of frustrations.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of those are probably things that will probably get fixed as the game starts getting a little bit more refined. For instance, the new player experience does leave a lot to be desired. There's a lot of like keywords and mechanics and like nuances to the way that a turn works that I still have just no clue what's happening, even though I went through the like 5-stage tutorial program and was like, oh, this is like, I'm totally grasping all of this. And then like you play the game and it's like there's these card types that they've never told you about. There's like planeswalkers, there's like all these random saga cards and stuff like that. And I'm like, what do these things do, bud? And the way that the cards are presented does not really like help out with that user interface wise. Like you look at the cards and I'm like, what could these things possibly mean? How could these numbers and words possibly relate to what's going on in the game board? But they're like 4 layers of mechanics deep where they're like referring to another mechanic that refers to another mechanic that's specific to a set. So
yeah, it'll be like, just like to like go up that point, it'll be stuff like this vigilance will block flying only if creature is a vampire, and it takes you a few times to play to be like, oh, a creature is not just a word. it's like it's an actual type of thing, or it's like, I mean, even like I haven't been playing, I've been playing for maybe, because I'll call it like 5 years now, and there's there's stuff that I see where it's like, I didn't know that was a thing you can do. And it's just like, because there's so many fucking cards, this game's been out for I think 2 decades now, it's like that's a lot yeah. of time to just accumulate a ton of shit.
And one of the interesting things to me about card games is how they're kind of like, I almost think they're like word games as much as they are games that you play with a physical thing, right? Because they're like almost semantics games where it's like a lot of the interactions are about taking advantage of the technicalities of what the words are on a card. And because Magic the Gathering has like a lot more nuances to its glossary and the way that its semantics work, you can fuck with them in ways that are extremely unclear to the newcomer. For instance, I didn't realize that like playing a minion or creature counts as a spell. So like someone used, like they're called creature spells. Is that how it works, Kyle? Am I correct?
Yeah, it's something like that.
And like someone like countered me playing a minion with a card that was like cancel block a spell. I was like, this is a fucking minion, you asshole. This game's broken. And then I realized that it's like a creature spell, which, all right, I mean, fucking whatever. Do your thing, Magic. Like, it's cool. Like, it's a cool mechanic that like makes more nuance. And it's way harder to play around stuff in Magic the Gathering than it is to play around stuff in like Hearthstone. I'll tell you that much. Like, I'm like, I play around board clear. And it's really interesting to me the way that attack advantage goes to the defender instead of the attacker in this game.
Like
you can choose whether you're blocking a minion or not, like, and then your minion heals if it doesn't die. So then it just becomes like a game of like war where you're basically like, who has the most like counter cards to counteract what the opponent's doing, and then you're just like playing back and forth. It's a crazy ass game, man. I'm like, it's so deep that I have no clue what the strategy looks like at a high level. And even like looking at deck building stuff, I'm looking at like, hey, what are like good beginner decks to start with in Magic the Gathering Arena? Which is something that was also really surprising to me, is like, you can't just look online and there's like, oh yeah, like use these, try to build this deck. They're like, no, just fucking find a bunch of cards. You want like this amount of lands, you want this amount of spells, and like this amount of creatures, pretty much. For beginners, this is like the color. Everyone says use like the mer people, like the fucking dudes, and then like dinosaurs or whatever. I've been using dinosaurs; they did pretty well for me. But it's complex, and the community out there for like net decking and stuff like that. Which, okay, sorry to. I use net decks sometimes, people, but I can't net deck either because like there's not a big enough resources online for that, or because it's just so fucking hard to net deck in this game because there's so much shit to collect. Whereas in Hearthstone, it's easier to like, oh, I'm missing these two cards, I could just craft them right here now type thing. Whereas in Magic, it's like you have a 60 card deck. If you want to get those 60 cards, you're going to have to put your backbone into it and like basically improvise, which I respect, but it's a little bit harder for me to understand deck building because net decking for me is like one of the things that taught me how to make decks and like what the basic principles of deck building are.
Yeah, I think it's also why you see like I think a lot of like kind of more constructed Magic play, well, I guess not like constructed with a capital C, but you have people that are more interested in like you said, the mechanic of Magic, the mechanics of Magic are really interesting, but like the deck building stuff can be kind of overwhelming because it's like, oh, how was I supposed to know that like the perfect key to get my deck working was this card that was released 15 years ago? That's like hard to track. So I think that you see like people who play Magic, and it's actually, this is probably the coolest part of Magic the Gathering Arena, though I can't say if it was in the other thing, which is that you do have the ability to play one variant is called drafting, which I talked about slightly earlier, which is the idea is that basically there's a buy-in and you get, I think it's 3 booster packs. And then from those booster packs, you construct a deck. So you're limited by what's in that set. So it really tests how well you understand Magic and can act on your feet, instead of having this sort of thing where it's like instead of where you need like some encyclopedic knowledge of how to make something out of like every card that's ever existed. And there's also another variant that I can't remember if it's supported or not, but I think what you do see in Magic is basically the community finding new ways to cope with kind of the burden of Magic to make it still be interesting. And then it's really cool to then see like Wizards of the Coast essentially adopt that as like a totally valid style of play, where they're like, yeah, if you want to play like draft style, then, you know, download our client and you can play official Magic as a draft. And I think you can even play it like competitively or something. So that's like really cool to see. And I don't know if Hearthstone has something similar, if Hearthstone is just, when you play a match of Hearthstone, you play a match of Hearthstone, it doesn't really change. So I think that's kind of one of the differences between the two. And that's, it's been cool to kind of see the kind of, I guess you'd even call it like the playing meta of Magic start to become a thing that's kind of adopted by the company who makes the game.
It's definitely kind of fun to like try to apply the skills that I know from Hearthstone to Magic, and like playing to your outs, knowing what you have, knowing you're running out of resources and like when to make the push, and beating decks that like clearly have way better cards than I do. People will like play stuff and I'm like, this is cheating, dude. I don't have these cards. And then I just hit their face a lot and then win. And that feels good. But I still have a lot to learn, because clearly, like, I played against some people who, like, know what they're doing, and it's like, oh, well, I fucking suck. Like, this game's hard, dude. There's also a lot of different strategies, which is difficult. You know? It's not just, aggro or control.
Oh, and it's also, you have
the ways they work are different.
You can also do, like, what you can, a difference, I guess one of the main differences between Magic and Hearthstone, for people who don't know, is that in Magic, you have this concept of land, which is basically your kind of like mana that you would have in something like Hearthstone. But instead of getting it automatically, you get it by drawing it. So what this means is that in your deck, you have to actually basically stock it with land types. But in Magic versus Hearthstone, you can stock with kind of like whatever type and color of land you want. And then use those cards to then play cards with. So, like, theoretically in Magic, you could have a deck that has the equivalent of, like, a Warlock, a Hunter, and, like, a Warrior Hearthstone deck, but in the exact same deck. So it doesn't limit you by kind of, I guess you'd almost call it class or something. So because of that, it's, like, you can have a deck that's, like, totally one color, but it's got little spices of, like, two or three other colors or one other color. So you'll do like a combo deck, but you could, or you can go like fully in one color direction. And that's a sort of thing that like really sets the two games apart. And I think that because of that, it feels like Magic has basically like kind of an infinite skill ceiling. It's like, along with like a kind of a recognized like luck, aspect of it. But theoretically you could build a deck that's got like four types in it, and kind of play it effectively, versus in Hearthstone, it's like, if you pick an archer, like, or Rogue, you're playing those decks. You're not playing any sort of combination of the two.
Yeah, I really like that about the game. The land system is very interesting. Again, to go on, like, to go back to the digital thing, like, the way that the turns work, there's, like, a lot of points in a turn in which you can interrupt the opponent, right? In Magic the Gathering. So, like, let's say, like, I'm about to play a card. Do you want to interrupt me? Yes or no? Okay, I'm about to, like, play another card. Do you want to interrupt me? Yes or no? My card is about to attack you. Who do you want to defend against it? This guy, this guy, this guy. So essentially, like, the way it works is it's passing between each player. And if you know what roping is in Hearthstone, it's when you take the full, like, minute and 30 seconds to take your turn. And some people do this just to fuck with you because they know they're going to win and they just want to, like, get you as pissed off as possible until you concede. Oh my God. In Magic the Gathering, you could do that times like 100 because it gives you time to, in every stage of the turn, to like react to what the opponent is doing. So you could just rope all of like your cutoff time or like interruption time. You can take all the time on your own turn, and it could just be the longest game. And like sometimes it feels like this was like a just a couple turn game, that passed pretty quickly, that one of us lost pretty quickly, one of us knew pretty quickly that we were going to lose. But like, because the turns take so long, it took like way longer than it felt like it should. So I think MTG Arena kind of feels like a little bit of a slog in that way to me. And that's probably another issue that's like mostly limited to people at my shittier skill level, because they don't know, like, oh shit, it's my, I have to do something now, you know? Like, oh, I can interrupt. Right. I could do something. But yeah, that being said, it's, as a digital experience, I think it's one of those that like is going to pay off a lot more to people who know how the game works very well, which is how it works with every game, every card game, every multiplayer game, what have you. But I think it has a little bit more impact on a game like Magic the Gathering that is coming into a digital card game space where people are used to like this very simple welcome onboarding experience for new users, and it just doesn't have that, and it's kind of a slog.
Yeah. I feel like we should talk about something else. I feel like I could talk about this for 20 more minutes, but
look out for my piece in PC Gamer about Magic the
Gathering. I like tuned out. You guys could have been talking about anything and I would not have known.
Katie's sleeping. Katie, wake up.
I'm awake.
We are taping Boys Time episode 2.
Sorry. Oh, it's not all boys right now. Damn it. Katie, what have you been playing? Sorry.
I've been playing a little game called Dead Cells. Ooh. It just came out of Early Access a few weeks ago. When I went out of town, I was like, I need a game. I could play on my Switch because I'm going to be on that plane for like 5 hours. And it turns out Dead Cells is like a really good like podcast game. Like I like super got like in the zone and I was just fucking doing really like kind of well. But, you know, it was like, I got really into it and I'm still playing it like every night. I've been like popping into it. But it's like people keep comparing it to like Metroidvania type things, and I guess it is that, but I feel like it's not that in like the traditional sense, because it's like a roguelite, so like the levels are like procedurally generated basically or whatever. But it's like there's basically rooms you go through and you can like teleport to other portals and whatnot across these like levels, and then there's like a hub area in between like each transition to a new level, and you can like upgrade your stuff, so you're still like progressing, but if you die you're like dead and you have to start from the very beginning. So it's like it is a lot of trial and error, and it's like finding like what weapons you like and like hoping you get those, because the weapons you get are random and stuff. But it's, I'm having a really good time with it. Like I honestly, I'm usually not in the roguelikes, I'm not in the procedurally generated type stuff, but I'm finding like the progression loop to be like really satisfying. Like I feel like I'm getting better at it, and I feel like I'm getting more experience, like a bunch of different weapons. Like I'm not getting too comfortable, which I think is a good thing. Like sometimes if I find like a set that works for me, like especially in like RPGs and like action games, I just kind of like stick with them. Like fuck it, this works for me, I'm gonna stay with this the whole game. And I feel like with Dead Cells I'm not doing that. I mean, I guess it's hard for that to happen anyway, but like I'm trying out shields and I'm not really good with shields, but I'm like trying to get more comfortable with those, and I feel like it's just like a well designed game. Like it just feels good, you know, like it's just the action feels good, and when I like die I'm like, damn, I really fucked up. It's not like fuck this game, I can't believe this like it's so cheap. It's like, nah, I didn't dodge, like I don't know what happened there, like it's just like that was all on me. Like I never feel like I'm like blaming the game for like my own faults. It's like, yeah, I really fucked that up. Like it's really fun. Like I don't know, have you guys been playing it?
I have, and you know what, it's just, it's Rogue Legacy.
That's what, yeah, okay, so I want to say something. Listen, I am a video gamer. I've loved me some video games in the past, present, and future. But like, I thought we were fucking done with 2D platformers. I thought like fucking Owlboy came out, the Iconoclast came out, Hollow Knight was like a beautiful swan song, and I was like, I was ready to be like, all right, you know.
That was like not that long ago.
I know, that's like, what I'm saying.
Iconoclast is earlier this year. Owlboy was like 2 years ago,
that's,
right?
But that's and what then, I'm saying.
Why
like,
is Owlboy like the terminus of,
yeah, I feel like no one,
because that was the thing.
I don't remember Owlboy.
Because that was the game that was like That was like
the legendary.
That was like the game that inspired all the big games. It's like all that, like that game was in development longer than like fucking Braid and like Meat Boy and all the other shit that's like borrowed from that game. And like the final game was like fine. Like, it wasn't that great. But I was just like,
I agree with you. I don't think Owlboy's that good, which it's like really beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, really, like, but I'm at the same time, it's like, why are we still getting excited about what seems like a pretty good 2D platformer in 2018?
I think so. I can't speak to Hollow Knight because I think it looks like a pop toy. So like, I don't
it's so true.
Right? Okay, so I keep saying this and people keep like fighting me on like it doesn't look like a pop figure. Like, I'm like, it looks like Hollow Knight pop figure.
Aesthetic love cult that's formed.
Right? It's like,
I don't get it either.
It's like
I played like 3 hours of Hollow Knight.
B-tier Tim Burton shit. Yeah. I don't like the art style of Hollow Knight. Yeah, I don't. Which like I totally understand. Like I feel like if I played it, I'd be like, oh, this is actually good because I don't know. If like a 2D platformer clicks with me, it like really clicks. Like for some reason that's like one of the genres I'm like, yeah, when it feels good, it's real good. But I just can't wrap my head around the art style, so I'll never play it. But I don't know. I feel like there's still room for, like, I don't think they're, like, groundbreaking or any shit. Like, I don't think Dead Cells, like, revolutionizing the genre. And I feel like it's kind of, like, not in the genre people keep placing it in. So it's kind of, like, a weird exception, I guess. Like, I don't know. I really like Yoku's Island Express from earlier this year, and that was, like, a neat twist on the formula because it had like pinball, but I wouldn't say it's like changing the fucking world or anything. Like, I don't think like those, that the 2D platforming genre is like dead. Like, I feel like there's still room to make like good games in that genre. Like, I don't know, it's like one of the best gaming genres in my opinion. So like, I don't know,
let me step in here, Kyle.
All right, step in, Josh.
I'm standing. You guys can't see me.
Do your dance,
listeners. You can't see, but I'm standing up right now.
Yeah, Josh is standing up.
I'm on my chair.
Dude, he's like on a spinning chair and I'm worried he's going to fall and break his neck.
Let me spin it right here real quick.
Okay.
All right, this is going to help my energy.
You have your headphones.
That was
in.
A good twirl. Good job.
Sorry, yeah. It's getting spinned up. Okay. Kyle, there's some... You step in here, doom saying about the death of the 2D platformer.
Not the death, just that... It's like, it's had a really good run. I think what it is.
It's had a good run.
No. Let me speak real quick, buddy. No, okay. This is serious, though. I feel like there is something essential about the 2D platformer. About the way, when it comes to game feel and exploring the depths of game feel, I feel like there's not quite something out there like the 2D platformer with combat elements. Because think about this, all right, buddy? Think about like what Mario did, right? The reason why people fucking cared about Mario is because it felt good to jump. Like, that's why Mario was dope, because they were like, damn, the jumping in this game, pretty fucking good. You know what other game had that? Prince of Persia. The Prince of Persia shit would, the running and slipping, or people fucking flipped out because you slip when you hold the button down a little bit. That's what people freaked out about with that shit. There's something about the depth of a 2D platformer that when something like reacts the way that it's supposed to, or when you press a button and you feel that just pause of a slash, or you feel that the input that you're getting on like a jump and the way that you land and the way your character responds to it and the way the animation all flows together. It's this kind of like flow state that you get from playing a video game that you do get in other video games. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I think that there's something almost primal about the 2D platformer experience that kind of paves the way for this in your brain. And it really connects. This has been my experience with it because there's so many 2D platforms that I pick up and I just immediately bounce off it. Hollow Knight was like that, Katie, where I'm like, this just doesn't feel good to me. I don't feel good being in this world. I don't want to play it anymore. It's not just because it's a 2D platformer, but there's something here beyond the art direction, beyond the way that it looks, beyond the central mechanics. That's like this very small nuanced thing that really appeals to this like id gamer that just wants a jump that feels a little bit better than the last jump, or that feels a little bit different than the last jump and still makes sense in the context. And I think that Dead Cells hands that over in a pretty satisfying way, because it gives you different ways to jump, it gives you different ways to slash, it gives you different ways to attack, it gives you different ways to move about the world. And you start uncovering these things over time, and that gives spice to the act of moving in 2D space. Bodies moving in 2D space, if, as it were.
I think yeah, it's like...
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Who wants to talk?
I'll just say, I think I hear what you're saying. I think what it is that I feel specifically is, like, as someone who is a big fan of 2D platformers, I think what it is that I feel the same sort of fatigue that I feel like I felt 4 years ago, where, like, or I guess maybe 2 or 3 years ago, with, like, the... There was, like, the empathetic platformer, like, the darling 2D indie platformer that like, not mechanically tight, but, like, had, like, a story or had...
Had a floaty jump.
Yeah, it was, like, a floaty jump, but there was, like, a heart or something. And I feel like recently we've been getting kind of the... Something similar but different, which is the, like, the proliferation of, like, really tight mechanicked 2D platformers. So I think you have stuff like Axiom Verge. You have stuff like Hollow Knight. You have stuff like Dead Cells. Also, people were, like, hyped for, like, Salt and Sanctuary. There's others, like, Celeste.
That was, like, a few years ago, though. Yeah, I feel like we're kind of hitting, like, the second era of, like, these 2D platformers almost. Because I feel like this, we were going through this maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Where there were just, like, so many, like, Metroid-likes or Castlevania-likes, like, everywhere. And I feel like we're just hitting this new phase of it, almost. It's like... All the people that got inspired almost by those games are now, like, releasing their games. So it's, like, now we're getting, like, a bunch of games. I don't know. It seems like, I feel like we've kind of seen this trend happen before, specifically of 2D platformers. And I feel like we're just hitting it again. And then we won't see any good ones for a couple of years. And then we'll see more again.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, like, there seems to be, like, these weird, like, genre trends that happen. Like, I mean, with, like, even, like, walking simulators after Gone Home. Like, I feel like in the past... Or, like, a couple years ago, there were so many, like, walking simulators, like, modeled after the Gone Home style, I guess. And now we're, like, seeing ones that are, like, moving it forward, like Edith Finch and whatnot. So it's, like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel what you're saying, especially with, Leia, like, seeing kind of a lot of the other games that have been coming out around the same time about... Yeah, I guess maybe it's also because there's, like, a new platform, like Nintendo's kind of, like, recommitment to having independent games on the Switch, whereas that's, like, a platform that's never really been adopted by the indie community, specifically because it's been hard. Although, like, Bit Trip Runner was a massive game for the Wii, which is a 2D, well, I guess it was a 3D, but it was a 2D side-scrolling platformer.
It's like a runner,
yeah,
I guess, technically.
So maybe that has something to do with it, because a lot of these games are also coming out on the Switch as well. So
oh yeah, definitely.
Maybe I mean, it has
Hollow
to
Knight
do with
was that. Out last year.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hollow Knight came out 2017, and then it came out on Switch, and everyone cared about it suddenly.
Yeah.
Just like the, that's what happens.
Just like Dead Cells.
I'm playing it on PC, yeah, exactly. By the way. Fucking frames, bitch.
Playing on your what's that crazy like? Don't you have a crazy resolution or something?
G-Sync. 1440p,
damn,
baby.
Dude. You getting that new, like, $1,000 NVIDIA graphics card?
Nah, I don't. I got, like, a 1070. It's high. It's
a 2070 or whatever.
Not 1070.
Some, like, there's make some, like, batshit crazy card. One.
I feel like this is, the graphics card thing is, like, a thing that, like, this has always been a thing. I don't know. I feel like it's just, like, this is a total sidebar. But I feel like nerd PC culture, like computer PC, not politically correct, but like nerd
potentially
PC
worse
culture,
than regular PC culture.
It is, and like it's like fucking everywhere. Like I remember trying to go to Best Buy like 5 years ago and trying to find a fucking power supply for my computer, and it was impossible. And now I go in there and they've got like 60 fucking mechanical keyboards and like NVIDIA posters and socks and shit, and it's like. That whole, like, the...
I want NVIDIA socks. That sounds stupid as hell.
But it's, like, but that the whole, like, culture of that stuff seems to have, like, sprung out of, I don't know what the fuck, but, like, the fact that, like...
Reddit.
Yeah, like, I don't know where it came from, where all of a sudden, like, the general gaming community seems to really care about, like, new graphics cards releases, when that stuff has been happening every year for the past, like, 10 years. And it's now, like, it's, like, that's, like... NVIDIA releasing a new graphics card gets like the front page of fucking Polygon, when I'm not trying to be like a mad nerd about it, but it's so weird. Older.
I feel like it's like people are getting older and now they care about having not just like the easiest, most accessible thing, you know? I don't know if that makes sense. Because I feel like I'm more interested in like PC stuff now, but I also have like a piece of shit PC and I'm too lazy to build one. So it's kind of like, I feel like it's almost like I've kind of, and I also work in the industry, so I guess that's a big difference than most consumers. But, you know, it's like I want the best quality, quote unquote, for games. So I've been looking into a new PC and stuff like that. So I feel like it might just be like people like me, like that grew up with like only consoles, are getting older and want a better thing and have money to burn now. It's like now that I have expendable income. But maybe it's just Reddit. I feel like Reddit also has like driven up PC type communities. I don't know.
Yeah, r/buildapc was like what let me build my computer. And like Reddit has proliferated like crazy over the years too.
Oh, definitely.
And I think like the rise of both of those things at the same time has, it's crazy how many people use Reddit, dude. Like normies.
Yeah, everyone uses Reddit.
Hella normies use Reddit. Like Kevin Durant's on there. He's like, he just posts to like r/NBA. A bunch of NBA players post to r/NBA, for instance. Like there's a lot of people out there.
Nice.
There's like on r/hip-hop heads, like Drom was in there the other day. He was like, hope you guys like the new tape.
New single.
The new single's good. Yeah. His new stuff's good.
88% white people in this subreddit enjoy this music. It's a running gag among r/hip-hop heads users. And most likely there's like a lot of truth to that anyway. Because it's true. Anyway,
it's also true that most white people are the main consumers of like and buyers of rap music. So
probably because they're like the main. There's a lot of white people demographically in the United States of America. It's like one of the most popular genres of music. Anyway,
anyways, gamer culture and being excited about NVIDIA is a weird thing. I feel like there's a line between it and like the conservatism culture that like gives rise to Gamergate or something. So like the PC master race rhetoric and like other shit that's like NVIDIA feels like a company you can trust in, and if there's one thing gamers love, it's a company they can trust that like loves the people. And it feels like there's something with that. I don't know, there's like a
thing. It's also like the hatred, it's also for like the hatred for anyone who would use a fucking Alienware product, a fucking Bose product, a fucking, like, anything that's, like, pre-made, like, Beats by Dre, you're fucking dunzo, motherfucker. You're filthy casual who doesn't deserve to listen to music or play a computer game, bitch. That's, like, this is, like, how these people feel, because it's, like, do the research. There's a sucker born every day. It's a free market economy, motherfucker. And if you're not out there building your own computers and buying Sennheiser, then you're an idiot. Don't you feel like there's this like really weird animosity, like by people who discovered the thing past Bose and Beats by Dre and Alienware PCs toward people who use that shit?
Yeah, totally. I mean, but it's also like the branding of these things often plays into that sort of narrative as well. Like NVIDIA releases their graphics cards and they're like surrounded by fucking like men with shields and like flames. Like it's not, they're not just like, here's a new cool product. It's like, this is the fucking hardcore.
I mean, Alienware has an alien head as its.
Oh, it's like it's very similar, emblem, but it's like it's like one level lower, you know. It's not that far away.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at, for instance, like shavers, ways to shave my face today.
Those are called razors, Josh.
Yeah, razors. I've been using an electric shaver for, you know, my whole life, basically. Feel free to pile on me for that one, too.
I should have a beard clipper right here with me now.
Oh, nice, bro. I've been using electric shavers for a very long time. And I'm like, you know what? Your boy wants a cleaner shave. Your boy wants that Gillette shit. You know, and I was thinking Gillette, because that's like a popular brand. I started doing some research. And there's a community of people out there who use DE or double edged or AKA safety razors.
Oh yeah.
Extreme. They're very extreme enthusiasts of shaving who fucking, they're like big fucking big razors trying to fucking take your money. And it's like, just a lot of people don't know about this, but if they did, everyone would be using these types of razors. And there's like this animosity toward people who are, maybe not animosity, but definitely superiority over people who don't have the knowledge and who are still using cartridge razors, like the Gillette, Mach 3 or whatever the hell they're selling, they're slinging out there.
I feel like the moral of the story is that men are always mad on the internet about something that they feel a passion for.
It's like, I think this is a common thing amongst a lot of like enthusiast groups, which is once you get past the point, like where you did a little bit more research, there's like there's a threshold that you pass and then you know more. It's like, oh, you went on to r/buildapc, you read one of the sidebar pieces, and all of a sudden, after 20 minutes of looking on the internet, you know what a motherboard is, you know what a power supply is, you know what a graphics card is, you know what all this shit does, and then you're like, fuck anyone who buys an Alienware PC. That's the dumb way to make a computer. You're a sucker, you don't know shit, even though you just figured this shit out literally last week. So many people do this stuff because it's like the one thing in their life that they like did some fucking research on, and now they're like an expert and everyone else is a pleb. It's never been easier to feel like the people around you are plebs. And so everyone out there thinks that shit. And it's like, it's ridiculous, dude, because I'm like, you, first of all, you know how easy this shit is to know? Like, you're not some god for knowing what a power supply unit is, okay? And just because you call it a PSU doesn't mean you sound cool. That being said, just be fucking normal. Don't be an asshole about stuff when you learn about it, is what I gotta say to that.
Moral of the story.
Moral of the story to me, it's like, you figure this shit out, and it's like, why do you have to impose your authority over someone who doesn't know this stuff? Granted, you know, there's a lot of people who are nice about that stuff, who are like, hey, you know, getting into building computers is a lot of fun. Here's my 8,000-word guide on how this works. But those people are a lot fewer and farther between than the asshole who just becomes an elitist about it. You know what I'm saying?
Also, like, the worst thing about that asshole is that they often will answer questions. After 20 minutes of research, like you said, when someone else asks a question, they'll do the line of reasoning where, or the line of answering where, instead of answering their question, they'll be like, oh, well, why aren't you doing this? And you're like, you're the worst person in the world. Why can't you just answer my question instead of trying to send me an answer based off your 20 minutes of knowledge that you like think you know what's going on? Like, just help me out here, man. Like, be nice about your knowledge instead of trying to rub it in my fucking face.
This is so weird. So I like lurk a lot of like gossip, like celebrity gossip blogs and like beauty stuff on Reddit. And it's just funny hearing this contrary to like how like celebrity gossip stuff, like it's all like snarky commenters, but it's all like nice and funny women. And then it's on beauty blogs, like a lot of like helpful feedback and like suggestions. And it's just
keep the men away.
Not this at all. I mean, I'm sure there are some mean-ass people out there that exist, but I haven't really seen much of it. Like, it's never like, how, like, oh, you're dumb as fuck for, like, not knowing when to moisturize after using, like, a face mask.
Dude,
or
that
whatever. It's like,
go to fucking male fashion advice on Reddit, and it's totally that. If someone's like, why would you fucking wear those socks with those shoes? That's a stupid idea.
I'm sure that, like, I don't really go on the fashion stuff. I'm sure fashion stuff gets vicious, but, like, beauty stuff, like, totally fine in my
it does depend always. on the community r/buildapc is very like they'll firmly correct you if like your thread is not tagged correctly or whatever, but they're not jerks about it usually. Sometimes where it does get like kind of heated is when people disagree on like when someone makes a superlative statement about like Nvidia or AMD or some other company. And they're like, well, the next generation is coming out. It's going to be really great. They're getting their shit back together. It's really messed up for you to say that. I would recommend this this person to wait for one more generation to this thing. And they'll be like, are you kidding me? This thing is blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the kind of conversation and like animosity you really start seeing in threads like these. Not so much towards newcomers, I guess, but gamers are definitely like that, like almost all the time. So.
Oh, yeah.
Gamers fucking suck.
Kyle, have you been looking into razors lately?
No, but I have a mustache right now. I've had like the same.
I thought those might have been related.
Oh, no. I honestly do. My shave regimen is that I use hot water on my face and just shave directly on my face. And I'm fine.
Owie.
It's fine. No, I've had the same razor for like 10 years or something.
You do like a clean, or do you do a clean shave or do you leave like a little stubble?
No, I do full on clean shave. It works fine. Just get your face wet and then shave it off. I never got into shaving cream. It was like too messy. And so I just usually just shave in the shower.
I never
I don't use like shaving cream on my legs or anything. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's something similar. I usually use a hot washcloth, or if I'm doing it in the shower, I'll just use hot water.
Doesn't leg skin work differently from face skin though?
Yeah, I mean, I don't shave my face, so I don't really.
We need a skin expert on Bad End.
Like, I think my partner, he uses like a electric shaver, but he always has a stubble. He never has like a clean shave. Like when he has a clean shave, it looks fucking weird. Like it looks like a new person.
So I can't really like grow a nice full beard. So there was a time in my life where I tried to do like a small stubble, but it was just like patchy. So I started just shaving it all off. Maybe now I could be like a little bit better.
His is patchy too. But he can't do the full, like he can't grow in a full, it just like grows in weird spots, but he keeps like a night, like it, the stubble is fine.
Yeah.
Like it's never like too weird.
Yes. Do you have like any video game ASMRs? Like sounds that you really enjoy in video games? Like,
yes. You know what it is?
What's yours, Kyle?
Okay. It is the door opening sound in Oblivion. Oh man. And I've also, it's a crazy sound because it must be from some stock library because I've heard it in movies before. But every time I hear it, I'm like, that was the door in Oblivion. It's kind of this, like, it's got this, like, nice kind of bass noise to it with this really high pitched creak. And it feels like it's like, and like, but with like, but with like some like high noise on it. And so it just feels like really good to just open doors all the time. What about you?
Nice. It would have to be my mechanical keyboard.
Ooh.
Yeah. Once you find that perfect switch and it's like typing becomes a transcendental activity, it's actually like uplifted the experience of writing for me.
Ooh. This is actually
shit typing on anything else, you know?
Mechanical keyboards are another great thing that nerds get mad about on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Membranes? Are you fucking kidding?
You're using fucking cherry reds, not cherry browns? Fuck you.
You know the actuation point is way fucking high on those, right? Check this out, though. Wait, just listen to this shit right here.
Type in the mic. I need to hear it. Mmm.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good
sound. Sounds like you're doing some word processing over there.
Oh, yeah. Always. Katie, you got any ASMRs?
I'm trying to think of mine. I really like the sound of like the language in Animal Crossing, like the.
Ooh, mini, 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 mini.
Yeah, it's like a weird like gibberish, but it's not like Simlish, where it's not like annoying. It has like this like very like comforting like. I don't know if that really counts, but it's like a nice sound in games. Like it's a good sound design.
This will be a good segment. Readers, listeners, if you have any video game ASMR noises, send them our way. We love to feature them on the show. Maybe I'll try to find some like clips of those things that you guys are talking about and kind of superimpose them over what you're saying.
That'd be great.
Because that. Also, you know what that made me think of, Katie, was when you're scrolling, when you're on a JRPG and you have like the text set to scroll really fast, and you just like keep mashing A, and it's like,
The sound of
the letters coming up, because you can like feel every letter coming up in your brain. And it's like, yes, give me more letters.
That's really good.
It's very similar to the like whoever did the Nintendo Switch UI sounds is like full on having to speak ASMR.
Oh my god!
Navigating the Switch just feels like you're like, oh, it's so comforting. You just go back and forth.
The Wii was
I love the click when you click in the Joy-Cons and you're like the
It's like surprisingly chunky. You're like,
it's like a nice little sound.
The Wii U made or the Wii itself made such a name off of that. The fucking Wii U shop music has become such a meme. And it does have that like ASMR vibe to it. Or like when you're downloading a game, it's like.
A little Mario run.
And on the 3DS or the DS and 3DS with like the. When you're downloading a game, there's like the little like dot drop. I don't know if that's the same on the Wii.
It was a coin, right? It was like a Mario coin. He would run by and.
No, on the Wii. I don't remember the Wii one. I'm trying, like, the 3DS one, it's, like, a literal, like, present drop, and it's, like, this, like, very nice, like, it's, like, pretty much quiet, and then you hear this, like, plop, plop, plop of, like, the thing dropping as it's downloading. It's, like, very satisfying.
Okay. I have to go. I have a hard stop. That was a great second half, if you agree that would be the second half of the episode.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning into Bad End episode 30, the big 30.
30 over the hill. We're over the hill.
That's like fucking 10 times 3 episodes you've done. That's nuts. Thank you so much for sticking with us this whole time. We're getting like awesome amounts of listens, and we hope that keeps growing. We hope that if you like this show, you will do your part and continue to sort of like spread the word about what we're doing. The world's first provocative video game podcast, Bad End Podcast. We are on Twitter at Bad End Podcast. We're on Gmail at badendpod@gmail.com. Rate us and review us on iTunes. That is super helpful. And, you know, just tell your friends. We see you out there doing that stuff, and we really, really appreciate it. Just send us an email with any of your ASMR recs, and we will see you in a couple of weeks, as always. Goodbye, friends.
Goodbye.
Peace.